Hello, and thank you for joining me for my first ever bi-weekly podcast. I'm so excited to finally be doing this. I'm actually tingly all over as we are about to have an open-minded, deep dive conversation. On my podcast, we'll be exploring my loves and challenges from the inside out, the obstacles, the joys, topics that matter to me through talks with vibrancy and love. Who am I, you may ask? I'm simply Tori. I have a desire to learn and evolve constantly, and I'm just trying to feel normal as a spirit, attempting to understand what it means to be a soul in body on this crazy, beautiful earth. So let's jump in. Today, our topic is the unstoppable you, the art of becoming unstuck. Something I've wrestled with for many years, and Doc B is well aware of that as well, and I'm finally becoming unstoppable. I couldn't have a better guest today joining me to explore this. Dr. B Sirius is a dear friend, a naturalist, a parasite specialist, prominent master herbalist, subconscious alignment healer, wellness coach. He does it all. He is widely respected and has been endorsed by the likes of Dick Gregory, Alice Coltrane, Reverend Michael Beckwith, Bill Duke, and Martin Luther King III, to name a few. He's also the co-founder of the Elevation Foundation for Abundant Life. But in short, he's a medicine man. Doc B, thank you so, so much for being with me today.
I'm glad and honored to be here with you.
So we have a lot to discuss. And since we're going to talk about becoming unstuck and unstoppable, I want to first ask you, what does being stuck actually look like?
Well, to be stuck is when you have goals in life, things you would like, wants and desires, that seem to never really come to be. They never really manifest. And it can be anything from your health, your finances, to your relationship life. Mm-hmm. Things that just seem out of reach, like we're going around and around the treadmill, but not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like having a boat, buying a nice rowboat, and putting it in the water and tying the rope mm-hmm. to the dock. So you're out there every day okay. rowing, but you haven't been able to release the rope from the dock. So you're getting exercise, you're doing mm-hmm. things, but you're not really going anywhere. So with health, having ongoing chronic health issues, either physical, mental, or spiritual, you know, and mm-hmm. trying to do everything you can think to do to get out of this, but you're still stuck. You're not moving. You're not growing. You're not expanding. You're not elevating.
Okay.
So this is happening with most people. Most people are having some issue like this somewhere in their life. And there are ways right. to shift out of this.
Do you think this period that we find ourselves in, this darkness, because dark is raining right now, and do you think that has something to do with it?
Well, it has to do with distraction. You know, there's so many okay. distractions now, because if we lived in a cabin in the woods and everything was beautiful, no matter how dark the world seemed to the mainstream, things would still be mm-hmm. beautiful for us. So it has to do with the amount of information we get. And even now with, you know, social media, you know, we receive more information in 1 hour on the internet than our ancestors, our great-grandparents received in a whole lifetime. So it's a lot of distraction. We keep hearing things and we believe it because it's in print and it's we're seeing it, we're hearing it. You know, and then it becomes this cognitive dissonance in your head. Part of you says, I don't know if that's important. The other part says, oh, this is very important because of the sheer weight of it and the amount of it that keeps coming to us. So it has a lot to do with being distracted.
Mm-hmm. So having said that, what does an unstoppable life or person, for that matter, look like?
Well, a person that is unstoppable, first, they have a goal. And they mm-hmm. have this goal in their mind, and it's got to be crystal clear. a lot of times my clients come and they sit on my couch in my office and I say, well, what would you like? First, they tell me their issues, their problems. Mm-hmm. Then I say, well, what would you like? And they begin to recant the problems. They keep telling me they don't want these problems. I say, well, what if all the problems were gone? What would it look like? And there lies the challenge. Most people really, truly don't have an idea of what they'd like outside of the paradigm or the world or the dream or the nightmare or for some folks, the daymare that they're in. All they know is the problem. What if we could use our imagination to focus on what you would like other than the problem? What is the opposite? And because we're in such a state usually, we're chronically lost, you see, it becomes a challenge. I have to work with folks for almost an hour to get one true goal. For instance, a lot of people will say, I need to make more money and get, you know, have a better job. I say, well, is that what you truly like? They say, yeah. Well, what are you going to do with the money? What do you mean? I'm going to live better. Well, why don't we just look at living better? Let's not mention how much more work we need to do. Maybe how much more play we like to do, because you'd like to play. So let's get to the real goal is to play, to have fun, to have joy, to feel, you know, a part of something, to be doing something that you always dreamed of as a child. And see, here's the issue. Most people were born in sin. Now, this in church used to always, you know, play with my mind. What do they mean we're born in sin? Well, sin is an archery term. It comes from archers. It means to miss not only the target, not only the bullseye, but miss the whole target. So because of the way we're raised, and we're raised like you raise animals, and you keep the animals in a pen, you keep them controlled, and you tell them how rough it is out there in the world. Think about how many times you heard how hard it's going to be in the world. It's going to be hard to do this. It's going to be tough to get married. It's going to be tough to stay married. It's going to be hard to get a good job. It's going to be hard to go to college. Everything is a hardship. Johnny, get off of that chair. You're going to fall and break your neck. Why would you tell the children that? So a lot of times the parents aren't totally aware and conscious of what they're teaching the child, and they're teaching the child the world of struggle, the world of pain. The child was not going to fall off the chair. How many children have fallen off a chair and broken their neck? How many times have you seen that in the news? Child falls off chair, breaks neck. You don't even hear about that. You know? Right. You know, it's going to be hard in college. It was easy for me in college. I went for 2 weeks and left. It was easy. To be honest, you know, I have done many things in my life that were considered impossible. Impossible. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe them because, see, I had a hearing problem. They said I was dyslexic. So I think I was hearing dyslexia because everything they said was backwards for me. Oh, it's going to be hard. I said, I heard, oh, it's going to be easy. You'll never be able to have this. I said, oh, wow. That means I'm going to be able to have this. Now, they thought it was a problem. They sent me to the psychiatrist. I asked the psychiatrist questions, and he starts crying at his desk because you've got to be able to do the transference. You've got to be able to do the work, the alchemy. You've got to be able to transfer what they're saying into your paradigm. But first, you've got to create your paradigm, which means at first, you've got to get out of the paradigm that your parents taught you, because your parents taught you how to struggle, and they taught you the language of struggle and the feeling of struggle even before you felt the struggle. You were told about the struggle. The news was on when I was a child. It was Walter Cronkite. Every evening, this guy was on. Who is this dude? Who, I don't know any other Cronkites. You know, what is his real name? It was always about the Russians. The Russians could blow the world up 30 times. I'll never forget this. And America is worried because we can only blow up the world 10 times. What? Why is that blasting through the house? I'm a child. I'm absorbing everything. Between 1 and 7, you're a sponge absorbing everything. You're watching your parents. Your parents are talking about how money doesn't grow on trees. It does. It does. It's wood. You know? So language that we're taught puts us in a space where we don't really have any freeness. We're already in a prison. We're locked into our family. That's the way we do it. We're the Johnsons. And this is the way we live as Johnsons. You know how the Johnsons do it. You see? So we join a group. And, you know, more than anything else, biologically, people want to belong to something. That's my family. Well, you know, they told me what diabetes, heart disease, and cancer runs in my family. I was like, really? Well, I may have to leave the family. Because the ones who left the family, children who were born in families that had these chronic illnesses, who were adopted early, didn't develop the chronic illnesses. Because that became the mantra. Listen, in the 1940s, and right after, no, it was actually the 1920s. In the 1920s, the stock market breaks. It falls. Or it crashes, or someone crashes. Something. And the new mantra in all the newspapers and everywhere, if you go study that time, it was America is crippled. We are crippled. The United States is crippled. Do you know what happens 5 years later? Polio.
No.
5 years.
Wow. Okay.
Because it was the mantra. It became the norm. We keep hearing how bad the world is today. Well, this is because that's the mantra you keep hearing. There's people that don't know anything about that. There's people doing better than ever. You see, you've got people making millions out of nothing. Millions out of something that they're just, you know, it's fun. I don't know. I played around on the internet and punched in some numbers and boom, I got an app. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have to be, you have to get to a point where you're able to break out of the prison that was created for you. And that takes courage.
Yes. Now, do you think that, because you did say the parents taught us how to struggle, and we'll talk about the parents for a second, but then you also, going back, you said it's hard for us, and I went through that for much of my life, not really knowing what I wanted. Like, I knew certain things I wanted, and I'd like, you know, the general success, abundance, fulfillment, but to pinpoint it, that was a struggle of mine. It's interesting that you said you have clients and you work with people that have that same problem. What is that?
That's because you're born in the mindset of struggle. You want struggle, even though you're saying you do not. When you say I do not.
Oh, I hate that.
When you say you do
I
not.
Don't. I don't. Oh, no. Okay, explain that, because I've heard that before.
The mind, this is a funny word, the don'ts and the should nots and could not. See, that mm-hmm. causes, you're like, you have one foot on the gas and one on the brake. You do, that right. means positive, I'm moving towards it. Not, I'm moving mm-hmm. away from it. You haven't stated yeah. to your subconscious mind, which is a computer. It doesn't understand the nuances of language. It only understands mm-hmm. the energetic pull, the magnetism, and the gravity of what you're saying energetically and emotionally. So instead of saying, I am moving towards wealth. I am moving mm-hmm. towards ease. You could just say simply, I would like to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's so simple. Oh my gosh. No, it couldn't be that easy. It's that easy. If you tell yourself, that's your mantra, I am healthy, wealthy, and wise. And here's the trick, Tori. If you put it in the future, your subconscious throws it out as a corrupted file. The subconscious mind is like a librarian. It can only focus on what's happening now, and it sees the past as now. If you keep bringing it up, if you keep bringing up your past, the subconscious hears what you're saying right now, and your body is like a corporation. You're the CEO, and you get on the the PA system, and you tell everybody in the business that the problem you had 30 years old is happening right now. 30 years ago, you had a really serious emotional problem, but you keep replaying the file because you haven't been taught how to release that file, to relinquish it, and to do the transformation of that into now. If we're not
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, for example, you know I have a book that's going to come out next year probably, and I'll be talking and speaking about the history of my trauma. So if I am at a podium, at a speaking engagement, and I'm talking about it, my subconscious, in just me talking about it, my subconscious is going to think that it's current? Like, how do you get around that then?
Okay, let me show you what you just did. I'm writing a book about my trauma.
Okay.
Is it yours? Is it truly your trauma? Or maybe we should call it her. Give her a name. Her trauma. Have you heard people talk like this? They're talking in second and third person. And you think they're weird? They're transferring the energy, the emotional energy to somewhere else. Don't say my trauma. Okay. You could say the trauma. Her trauma.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because technically you're not her, because every 7 years, every single cell in your body has been renewed. So you're not her. You just think you're her. You're a brand new person. So if you could learn to the language of empowerment, I'm writing a book about a woman's trauma. You don't ever have to say you. As soon as you say me and you touch yourself and point to yourself, hey, the computer comes on, oh, we need the security guards, and there's fire engines, there's cops, there's an emergency in the village called you. But actually, there's no emergency. There's nothing.
But it's hard to say, because we, biographies, memoirs, we say, we say my story.
It's easy. It's going to be easy to say. And one of the things I teach in my coaching is, let's give that person a name. Let's give that person a name. Let's name the person who you don't like riding with every day, who's riding with you in the automobile called life.
Yes.
Let's name her. If her name is opposition, let's name her opposition. Here's what happens. You go through a trauma in life, and you create what's called a security guard around the trauma, so that you're constantly searching for anything that looks like that type of trauma. The security guard is looking for trauma, for drama, to keep you safe. But you, your original self, is a manager. The manager is looking for what? It's looking for what? Opportunity. But what happens is over time, because of the trauma, whatever happens to us, we become it at some level, and we're looking for it, so we'll create it.
Okay.
Now, what happens is, a person who has been through, let's say, abandonment or whatever, they either become an abandoner and abandon others, or I don't like people abandoning me, so I'm going to abandon myself. That way, you don't have the power of me. It's a control drama. You take control, and you want to own that drama. And you want to keep calling it mine over and over, and you don't want it to ever happen again. Want means the desire without action. Want. That gets programmed in your subconscious with what? It gets programmed with symbols. The wanting, most people who want don't have. If you want and you want and you want, you're wanting all over yourself. You're not going to get it, because the vibrational sound you're sending through your corporation, the corporation called you, says, we're not doing anything. We just want. Now, if you say desire, it's a different vibration. Listen to the sound. Desire. At least it's moving up and out. It has a different energy. I desire instead of I want. It's about language. Language. We were taught the language of disempowerment. We weren't taught the language of empowerment. We were taught how things were going to be so hard. They were going to be so tough. It's tough out there. And there's so many evil people, and the worst things that can happen to you happen that night. No, I got a phone bill, and it had three surcharges on it. One third of the phone bill was surcharges. So I decided to call the phone company. Hey, this is Mr. B. What the heck are these surcharges? No one could explain it to me. He says, how long has this been going on, these surcharges, sir? You know what I'm saying? They can't tell me. So I'm being ripped off every single day. And guess what? After I brought this up, the next time I got a bill, two surcharges disappeared because I asked questions. I began to take charge. I would like, if you're going to charge me for something, I'd like to know what it is, sir. Do you have a charge against me? What is it? So we've got to get ourselves out of the prison of words. Language can be your lockdown or your liberator. See? So the first thing is, if you have some issues in the past, at least say, in the past, I... Or she, that's all you've got to simply do. It brings down the vibrational pressure and the stress of that situation, because it's not now. The truth is, we have been taught to be liars. We don't tell the truth. We think it's the truth, but it's not fact because it's not happening now. You're conjuring it up. You're doing magic on yourself. You're putting a spell on yourself and a spin. So if you just simply do that, and that's what we teach in our course, how to move this energy to a place where you can get unstuck, because each time you bring the past that you cannot fix, it's the only thing you cannot fix is the past. Listen,
right?
How
right.
many people are still trying to make their parents happy and the parents have been gone to the other dimension for years? You're still trying to make mommy and daddy happy. It's still, because see, what we did as children, we wanted to get the cookie. You've got to get this grade. You know, you hated this subject. You struggled with this subject, but you've got to make mommy and daddy happy to get the cookie, to get the golden star. That was stars when I was a child in the 60s. It was about these stars. You got to get 5 stars and you get an extra cookie. You get more sugar. You get a little more, move closer to diabetes. You know what I'm saying? So these treats,
okay.
right? We began to look for treats, but there was tricks involved because we got into a place of being validated. We needed to be validated. We wanted likes. We wanted the teacher to like us. We wanted friends, so we did foolish things to be part of a group. Things that we, internally, we weren't into that. We weren't ready to cast the first stone like everybody else. But to be a part of the group, you got to cast a stone. Come on, Jennifer. You've got to cast a stone first. You
know, we're doing that more than ever now with social media.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Because, see, this is all a part of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence didn't come out with computers. It came about when people began to join groups and be a part of a group just because that was the thing to do. Even though you didn't agree with everything the group was doing, you agreed. So what did you do? You took your original self and you put that in a box and you put on a mask. And now you live in a masquerade. Now that you're old enough to make a difference and change, you can't, because the mask is so thick, you think it's you. This is me. This is who I am.
I wanted to ask you about the masks and taking them off and hiding behind them. Continue. I'm glad you said that. Keep going.
It's a false sense of security because you're not happy. What would you really
like?
Wearing
the mask.
Wearing the mask is painful. This causes chronic illness. This is why heart disease is so big. You know, how is heart disease? You know, my uncle dies, and we're sitting there, and the preacher gets up and says, well, you know, he died from natural causes. Well, when did a heart attack, when did the situation where your heart attacked you? Your heart attacked you. What could make that happen? Well, then they begin to read all the things he did. He was a part of the Elks Club. He never missed a meeting. He took his family on 5 vacations. He never took one by himself. He was a great husband. He was there for everybody. Whatever you called Harry, he was there. Harry never, let me tell you, Harry had 2 years of vacation time that he never took. He never went anywhere by himself. He used to make little boats out of toothpicks when he was a child. Well, when he got bigger, he stopped making his little boats out of toothpicks because he had to have a family. You stop doing the things that you truly desire and you love. So now you begin to put on this mask. This becomes a disease. It's like a drug. It's like the endorphins in your body. Or what I should say, the dopamine. Dopamine is the hormone that comes online when you're liking to do something. You're trying to get somewhere, but you're not really getting there. So you're doped up. It's like you're on a drug.
Yeah.
The average person in America is on drugs. Not on physical drugs. They're on emotional drugs. You get high when there's drama. Because guess what? Your parents told you it was going to be drama. It's going to be tough. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Then what happens? Well, we moved away from creativity and moved into competition. Here's a big problem. Competition and creativity fight each other. They're brothers, but they don't like each other. They're opposite. Okay. If you're totally creative, you're going to drop into your original self and say, what is it that I desire? Now, I know you may have a family right now, some of you listening, you may say, I can't just do what I want. Yes, you can. You can take a little time and be gone. You could go for a weekend and just be gone. And don't tell them where you're at. And don't tell them where you're going. And please don't take your phone, or at least turn it off. because you're opening the door for an emergency, and it's going to happen as soon as you're gone. If you find a way to find peace in your life for these bursts of time, and it has to be something that's rhythmic, because your body works in 28-day cycles, just like the moon. They call it a circadian rhythm. So you've got to find a way to create a habit that's a pleasurable habit, because the subconscious Tori is programmed by the repetition of pleasure or pain. And even the language of pain is a habit. The language of struggle. People ask me, somebody asked me the other day about the president. I said, who is the president? They said, well, you know who the president is. I'm not sure who the president is. I've never met him. I don't know. It could be an algorithm. This could be Photoshop. I don't know if this guy was. In fact, what I've heard about him sounds like a comedy show. It's got to be funny. And the world didn't come to an end yet? Oh, such and such is the president. The world's coming to an end. Well, it didn't. We're still here. Yeah. The collard greens outside are still collard greening. The squirrels are still squirreling. The owl I saw yesterday knows nothing about this. The oak tree is expanding every single day because the oak tree knows how to mind its business, and it's doing exactly what it came to do. What most people are doing is not what they came to do. They're not expanding their natural abilities like you. You've talked about having a radio show for a long time. Mm-hmm. And everything popped in the road to stop it. And most of those things that popped up were you. This is you stopping yourself, because it's a struggle out here. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. You know what I'm saying? So once you remove you break the hurdle, you jump it, and you begin to what? Mm-hmm. Have pleasure. What is pleasurable? What would you like to do? If nobody was around, if you didn't have to get points and brownies and stars and make other people happy, what would you do? Because most of us have become perpetual servants, trying to make everybody happy. And now, with social media, you want likes. Oh, my God, I put up my picture the other day. I got over 2,000 likes. And those, you don't even know those people. They don't really like you. It's a video game. They just click that. Oh my God, it was, I feel like I had an orgasm there. I looked up and saw. So this is a genetically modified orgasm. Nothing happened. You know, it's like the tomato you buy now. You bite into it, and just because it's supposed to be a tomato, but you know. If you grew up in the 80s or the 70s or whatever, that don't taste like the same tomato. But it's a tomato, so I'm going to actually like it. Yeah. You see, the food, you agree with it because you've got these agreements with your false self that you've created to make other people happy. I am saying to get unstuck, you're going to have to ask yourself the question, what would I really like to be doing? Don't worry about whether it's possible or not. Don't worry about how. That's not your business. What would you like? Then the next thing that's important is, what is your why? Why would you like? Never mind how, boy, I've got 29 children out there in the yard. I adopted 10 and I had 10 and I can't do anything. You can. You have to create the space. You have to force it. Because if there's an emergency and you're in the hospital in intensive care with that plastic bag over you, they don't even want your family to come visit you too much. Why? Because all of that is going to create more stress. Even if they say, hi, hi, Tori, how are you doing? You're feeling bad for them already. Oh, my God, they're seeing me with the plastic bag. I feel worse for them than I do for myself. They don't even want you to bring. Don't even bring flowers. Don't bring no cards. This person needs to be in solitary. They need to be in meditation. They need to be in a space in between sleeping and awake, which they call meditation, where you can create and crystallize a new world. Your whole focus should be on healing your body, not worried about what other people see when they come to the hospital room.
Yeah.
You see, if you could get into a space and conjure up a vibration of pure joy, pure ecstasy, without thinking about, well, what would Harry think about it? What's Harry going to think? Don't worry about Harry. Harry's been sitting with that remote for 29 years. The couch has an indentation, especially for Harry. The numbers on the remote for his favorite channel have rubbed off. He's going to be okay. leave Harry his, you know, his little those little TV dinner trays with all the medicines on it. Make sure his medicines are lined up. Put little days or, you know, how many to take on what, and leave. Because when you're gone, people figure it out, don't they?
Yeah,
when you're
gone.
We do. You see, when they can't find you, now they're mad. They tell you, and then they tell you, well, I'm really worried about you. I love you. Well, now you just said something that's real weird. You're, this is fear. So you got fear and love mixed together. I'm scared for you, Tori. If what happens if you fail? Look, if you don't try and try, you're going to fail. You have to keep doing the thing over and over and over until you get there. But you need the goal first. And you can't listen to your old self, your friends, and your family, because they will help you fail, because they live in misery, and misery loves company. And you make it, who are you going to be? Who are you going to be? And then the minute you make it, they're calling you like crazy because they need stuff. I knew you were going to make it all the time, Tori. Oh, my God. Listen, we got a little problem. We need 50 grand right away. And now, if you're caught into that servitude, what do? You figure out how to get the 50 grand that you had invested in something. You were going to invest in the cannabis industry, and it was going to be 500 grand in the 2 years. You take that money, you give it to these people because you love them. So sometimes we support people in love, but it actually is causing them to fail. Sometimes you got to support yourself first. Only you. You have to be what some people don't like to use is the word selfish. So we'll soften it and say selfless. This is how you begin to get unstuck. And there needs to be something that you do every single day and focus on what you desire as if it's here now. And there's a process. See, there is a very clear, it's technical, not even philosophy. This is technical. Right. It's mathematics.
That I wanted can be to done. Ask you, you have a master class, and I know in your master class, you discuss what someone can accomplish in just 17 seconds. Is that true?
17. And if you do anything for 17 seconds every day, you're reaching a place called the theta state, where your brain is in the theta wave space. Theta, right, which is the eta. H is 8, right? It's the 8th letter. It's a little bridge. You see how an H looks like a little bridge?
Yes, absolutely.
The theta is the state of your mind when you're in between sleeping and awake. That's that space when you're about to fall asleep, but you're not asleep yet, but it's kind of dreamy and weird. If you had something that you could place in that space, it would be planted in your subconscious fertile earth, and it would be watered and nurtured for 6 to 8 hours while you sleep. The subconscious is a servant. It is doing exactly what you commanded of it at an earlier time. If you do this all the time and you plant these new seeds in your fertile subconscious mind every night at this specific time, guess what? It begins to happen almost like magic. This is what I knew as a child. I don't know. I had a visitation. It was lights outside the window. Next thing I knew this stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it worked. Obviously, people like Steve Jobs, Gates, all of these wealthy people know this. People who have healed themselves. There's people who had their spine severed in 3-4 places. The spine is broken. You know, it's impossible. You're going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. If you believe that, it's true. Because everything is made of energy. And you can reconstruct your spine. You can reconstruct your heart. You can reconstruct your liver and your kidneys once you get rid of the mental pirate that's riding on your ship. It's like a boat. You're the captain. And there's these pirates that want to take over. They want to be captain one day. You see? You also got some hitchhikers. You've got some people who are sick and shut in, who have been sick and shut in, who needed to come and chill while they were healing. They've been on your ship, on your couch for years. You've got people that every time the phone rings, you see the caller ID, and you know it's drama. Drama's calling. Come on. Hi, Dory. Hi, this is drama. Listen, you know, I'm having a real big issue over here. I'm trying to make this movie, and we can't figure out the last scene. So you sit and you take off of your, you know, off of your project, time off your project to help them out, and they've got it. Oh, my God, thank you so much, Tori. See you later. You just completed their movie. They're happy. Did they send you a check? Do they give you credit? No, because most people are pirates. They're taking it. They're taking your ideas. They're absorbing the energy you're not using. So this is the Matrix once again.
Yes.
The Matrix is a pirate. It's a parasite. It's sucking your energy. And most of your friends are parasites. You love them, though. That's my family. We went to high school together. I remember. Okay, you went to high school together. What is the person doing for you?
Well, they like everything I put up on the internet.
They like it. So let's say you're an artist. Do they buy your art? No, they like it. Oh, they just like it. You need people to purchase what you do, to hire you, to bring you to the special meeting to meet the big shots, to hook you up. Those are friends.
Mm-hmm.
Friends will cuss you out if they eat you when you have lost your mind. My friend Dick Gregory, I'm talking one day, and he grabbed him by my throat. But this is a little skinny man, 80-something years old. He grabs me by my throat, picks me up 12 inches off the ground. And he says, don't you ever curse yourself out like that again. I was just telling him about an issue I was having. But what he was doing was shocking me into the moment. Because most of us are not living in the moment. In the moment, if you breathe correctly, you can create the theta state. You can create this state where you're in between things. You're in between the past and the present, and you're in the now. Meditation does this. You see, certain types of exercise do this. There are many ways to get here. And, you know, I went to school, and I became a doctor of ontology. That's my doctorate, is the ontology. Most people don't even know what that is. It just has to do with using your energy to get where you're going. See?
Okay.
And then I took a course called psychological kinesiology. How to use your body, because your subconscious is stored in your body, to help you get what you desire. Not your mind, because your mind is a trickster. Your mind will have you all over the place. It wanders for 40 years in the desert. You know what I'm saying? And you keep following it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You feel it in your body. What do you feel it? Every time I think about whatever happened to me 32 years ago, I get this pain in my right side. So that's how they know you're lying in court. Because every time you tell something that's not true, your little finger jumps. They keep watching for patterns. Mm-hmm. Your little finger. You didn't know. Your little finger moves every time you lie. They gave you the lie detector test, right? They got a baseline. His little finger moves. So here you're in court. No, I wasn't even there that day. I didn't go to work. Your little finger's jumping, right? You're lying.
Yeah.
And every time you do something, right, there is a movement in your body. This is why they call it kinesiology. It's muscle. There is a muscle memory that where the issue or the issue that is has an issue, the tissue that has an issue is what is paining you. Heart disease. When you talk to people with heart disease, they've got a few things in common. Almost everybody with diabetes, including my father who had it for 27 years until we helped him get rid of it, he was very artistic and he never would do his art. So his art, his creativity was unbirthed. And what it did, because the pancreas is connected directly to the heart. The heart would not beat correctly. It had a strong beat on one side and a soft on the other. So it's boom, 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 boom. The heart isn't beating correctly. So what happens is people with diabetes, right? After a while, it becomes heart disease because your heart is not in what you're doing. All he had to do was close his little room and get out his drafting table and draw something or play with crayons or do something fun that you used to do that you used to love for you without the impressions and without other people's opinions. You're too cool for this story. You can't be playing with crayons. You've got a radio show. You're making movies. You need to close that door. And you need to shut yourself up. Don't tell them you're going to go play with crayons because they're going to look at you crazy. And you love them so much that you're going to what? Back into their world. And they're pirates again. So what I'm saying is we have to find some type of joy, something we love. Sorry, when was the last time you went to the playground and got on the swings?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe 10, 15 years.
Okay, if you go to the playground this week and get on a swing, everything will change. Everybody listening, go get on a swing. First of all, it creates a rhythm within you, And it takes you back to being a child when you didn't have all these bills. You didn't know anything about the problems of orange hair and anybody else. You didn't care. All you knew when you got home, you're going to get a cookie. You're going to have fun. You could swing really high and dive off the whole thing and into the air and fly for a few seconds off the swing. Remember, we used to do stuff like that. We were crazy because we didn't care.
Yes.
Crazy means to be tracked away from the mainstream, which means you're an apostate. An apostate or an apostle moves away from the mainstream. I'm doing it because I can. I'm a child. See, we've got to bring back that inner child. You've got to do something that is for you so that now you're living in ecstasy at least for a few minutes every single day. In the course, we teach you the things that have worked for thousands and thousands of years and thousands of people. These things are scientific. If you're able to stay focused on this thing, and the challenge is, it may sound like, you know, I have to do something for 17 seconds. I can do that. Wait till you start doing it.
Right.
Everything. Yeah. The phone is, ambulances are in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? There's a crow pecking at your window because you just put Windex on and they can't tell us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Everything starts happening because guess what? The security guard we talked about earlier, it is looking for drama. And it wants to stay. The subconscious security guard would like to stay comfortable in being uncomfortable because it's familiar.
Familiar.
Now you're about to
move. And the people in your life want you to be familiar to them.
Because if you love me, you'll still do blah, 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 blah. If you love me, you'll go to college. I went to college because my father wanted me to. I went for 2.5 weeks. I sat there. I tried to do it. Then the teacher showed the whole, you know, I went to school for electronics, right? He showed all the symbols of electronics, and he made these little wires, right? He showed them on the board. I was, oh, that's it. That's electronics. I got that because I'm, you know, I have a photographic memory. I took a picture of it, and I left. I never went back. My father was pissed. What do you mean? He just walked out. I walked out, and I can put together any circuit to this day. I didn't need the whole class. I don't need to read the whole book.
Mm. Yeah,
I don't need to sit here for 3 years and be miserable and fail. By the way, I still owe them the money for that school. Are you Mr. B? You owe.
Well, to answer, I have one other question, two other questions for you, because I know I'm running out of time, and I knew this was going to fly by. Is there a common denominator between those who are unstoppable?
Yes. They don't listen.
What is that?
They do what they do. They do what they want to do. They're not in competition. I don't know one very successful person who is truly in competition. They don't look at the competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly detoxifying their mind and their body from parasites. Parasites are things that use your energy, right? They eat everything. Mm-hmm. They eat your ideas. They eat your food. They eat your organs. And they use you as a host. And they don't pay bills. They don't do anything. They don't clean up. When you are treating your body like a winner, like a hero, you're eating a certain way. People who have certain things that they do, that they're professionals, they eat for that. It's a certain way you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you realize that when you eat certain things, it's a certain mood. You know, you eat that nice bread that, you know, that you used to eat when you thought was the same bread when you grew up, but it wasn't because now it's like full of, you know, poisons. You feel funny. You get tired. You had a great idea. You were about to sit at the computer and finish your book, and all of a sudden now you're sleepy, and now you've got the remote in your hand, and now you're just on Instagram, just looking and looking and looking because you're zoned out. So you've got to have a way of eating, a way of living, a path. You've got to have some sacred time by yourself, for yourself, with yourself, without the opinions of others. This is what I see with all the successful people. I've been extremely successful in my life several times. I've done things that no one else could do. I've been in Time. I've been on the front page of Time for doing some things that were impossible. Me, my own self. My father kept telling me, you can't do that. I was making more money than my father ever made in 1 year. He was like, well, you know, it's going to fail. It's going to blah, blah, blah. Because he was trying to protect me because he loved me. He didn't want me to be hurt.
Yes.
How could I be hurt? Dad, yes. I got enough money right to live for the rest of my life. Of course, I didn't learn how to spend that money correctly. And well, you don't want to get it back. So what I do is I help people help themselves. Mm-hmm. We have a course, the Unstoppable Me Masterclass, which is changing people's lives. And the investment for it is so small. The investment of the time, it's only a 9-hour course. It changes your whole life. It changes your whole life. And it's video-based, so you can sit there and just listen to it and take notes and go over and over, and it changes you. It helps to chase out the mental parasites and pirates in your mind. Then we have this product we created called the Elevated Total Body Program. It's a cleanse. It's a detoxifier, and it detoxify you systemically. Your heart, your liver, your kidneys, your spleen, and your blood need to be cleaned. Just like you clean your house, you clean your car. What about your internal body? Because parasites are the number one disease-causing thing. Parasites. Everybody's got them. I don't care if you're a vegan, vegetarian, or you live in a plastic bottle. Doesn't make any difference. If you breathe air, you're going to get parasites. And they live in you, and they mimic your way. But they control your thinking. Mm-hmm. They control your nervous system. Anybody out there, look up the parasite Toxoplasma. Toxoplasma is the mind control parasite. If you're eating any animal products, you've got it, unless you caught them in the woods yourself. But if they're in a feedlot, right, where they're growing all the animals now, they have this thing called toxoplasma, this parasite that keeps the animals domesticated. They don't even run away. They don't even want to run away because they have this parasite. Most people have this parasite. 70% of the people have this parasite. So they don't run away. They don't get free. They stay on the farm. And they go to this place called a pharmacy. And when you get there's no farm to even see. But somebody told you that this was a farm. You're on a farm. You're not. And then you're gonna take a drug that has more symptoms than the disease you have. You have one disease, and the drug has 29 side effects. You know, the one that really gets me is the one they say, if you take this drug and if you have swelling of the lips, throat, tongue, your eyes, you know what I'm saying? If you begin to bleed from the rectum, doctor, I can't even ask. If your throat and your tongue is swollen, how are you calling the doctor? I guess they probably know when you call. Not funny. They say,
He took the medicine.
I'm not saying that medicines don't have their place. I'm not saying that medical doctors don't have their place. I'm saying that you have to be your own doctor, and you have to cleanse your body and detoxify every time the seasons change. So for 30 years now, we've had this program, this cleanse. It's herbal. It's all natural. It's all liquid. It's easy to do. It is, you know, and it just detoxifies your body so that your mind can think clearer, because your blood, if your blood is toxic, your thoughts are toxic. That food that you ate 5 years ago, that Thanksgiving chicken for 13 years ago, is still in your gut. There's still a residual plaque. It's terrible, but it's and there's bugs dancing around inside of you. So now you wonder why you're having these crazy thoughts. Now you're thinking about giving up every day. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know. You've already beat yourself up because the bugs are eating you. You've got a bug up your butt. You've got a bug in your mind. You're buggy, and you've lost your mind, and you're depressed. And then you become
bugging out.
All right. I'll take that one in a minute. You just smashed that one. So the thing is, we've got to detoxify mentally, physically, spiritually, or some people don't like that word, energetically. And we've got to do it often. So the course, Unstoppable Me, which is available on our website, we're doing a special just for folks who are listening to the show. So if you go there, you'll see it. Click the button. Even if you need time to pay for it, click the, you know, there's a PayPal credit button. Got 90 or 6 months to pay for it. It's not that expensive. It's an investment. And then the cleanse product you'll see is called the Elevated Total Body Program. It's available on our website. It's time to change your life and take it into your hands. So allow yourself to be yourself. And you're also going to have to detoxify from some of these friendships for a minute, some of these relationships for a minute, and learn how to make love out of the things in your life that are not love. It is not always so easy, but it's simple. If you take this step, then that step and that step, you can do it. And this is the time to do it. When it looks like the world is going crazy, that's your signal.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's watching the gate. They can't be watching the gate right now. This is when all the millionaires and billionaires, and this is when people, you know, do miraculous healing. We've had people over the years with many, many illnesses that were incurable, including myself. They gave me a year to live. The doctor gave it to me. He didn't even charge me for it. He said, oh, I'm not even going to charge you today. He gave me tickets to Disneyland. And Disneyland wasn't even far away. It was right there in Anaheim. I'm like, what can I get? I want to go to the real Disneyland. I want to go on a trip if I'm going to die. After I stopped eating a certain way, began to think a certain way, began to detoxify my body, all of a sudden the incurable disease is gone. I go back to sue my doctor. Mm. Guess what? He died. He died because he believed in the crap.
Oh, wow. Right? Oh, my gosh. That's ironic. Wow. That's ironically sad.
I do what I do because it's my ministry to help other people help themselves. That's what I'm passionate about it. Some people say, Dr. B, you're crazy. You have to be crazy. You've got to be able to go, what? Down the stream instead of up the stream. Roll
your boat. That's what my dad says.
Gently down the stream. You don't have to go upstream. Why are you going to go upstream? Why is it so hard for you? Because you believe it. It's been programmed in you. Most of these diseases don't exist. Restless leg syndrome. What the heck is that? That means your leg is moving because you need to be doing something. Get off your butt. They got a new disease and a new drug every week. Are you feeling like blah, blah, blah? What you need is blah, 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 blah. What you need is to get off your ass. Get up and do something. Cleanse your body. Drink some real water. For a minute, just drink some water, right? Be loving. Mm-hmm. Be clear. Be focused on your goals. And detoxify everything around you that could be causing your problems. Once you do that, everything shifts. And we've got
Please share your website.
ElevationTime.com. ElevationTime.com. Or you can call me at 323-931-1212. That's 323-931-1212. Or you can email me, docb, that's D-O-C-B, 737, @gmail.com. That's docb, 737, @gmail.com. Or just go to ElevationTime.com. If you're interested in the Unstoppable Me Masterclass, you click on where it says events, you'll see it. And there's also a bunch of free webinars there. You can click on those. You can listen to this guy, Dr. B, rant and rave and attempt to get you to shift life. You see? But it's fun. I try to make it fun. You need to laugh. One of the best healing things there is, laughter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining me on my first show. I'm so glad to have you. You have been there, been a dear friend, and like you said earlier, you know I've been talking about this for a while, so thank you for that. And I knew time was going to fly by as we had so much to say. I definitely have to have you back. You are a wealth of information. I really want to talk more about parasites the next time as well. Want to thank my listeners for hanging with me today. Join me same time, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in 2 weeks on Sunday the 21st. My special guest then will be none other than Tim Reed, actor, producer, icon, and father. Our topic is going to be the power of the spirit. Very excited about that one as well. Stay tuned. Until then, be unstoppable.